The Raspberry Pi 4 is now available in models with 2, 4, or even 8 gigabytes of RAM. It supports decoding H.265 video up to 4K60, plus H.264 Full HD. It has dual HDMI output, multiple USB 3.0 and 2.0 ports, gigabit Ethernet, 802.11ac wireless supporting both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz frequencies, Bluetooth 5.0, and in case you didn't catch it, I already mentioned it, but it now has up to 8 gigabytes of DDR4 3200 RAM. 8 gigabytes in an SBC, folks! What? As the Raspberry Pi 4 is going to be in production until at least 2026, it's a great time to get into single board computers, my friends. Or if you've already got a Raspberry Pi set up, it's time to upgrade. The specs of this particular Raspberry Pi are in line with a budget PC. So we want to look at it and make it look like a sleek, modern desktop device rather than just a piece of maker tech with a bunch of wires sticking out of the GPIO. And that, my friends, is where the Argon One case comes in. This stylish aluminum alloy body, the combination of both passive and active cooling, it has both. It's got a power button that safely controls the power state of your Raspberry Pi 4, and that's just a few of the points that make the Argon One case a beautiful choice. Shall we get into it? Let's get our maker on, folks. All right. First of all, I've got the Raspberry Pi 4 with 8 gigabytes of RAM. It looks like there's no tape on this box. These are the kind of boxes I like. There we are. All right. It doesn't even have a... that's crazy. Doesn't even have a anti-static bag. So let's hope it didn't encounter any static along the way. What else have we got in the box? Nothing. A thing that says, hey, don't touch that. And a manual. All right. We've all seen a Raspberry Pi 4. We all know what they look like. There it is, folks. It has the micro HDMI. It's got the USB-C power input. It's got the headphone combination jack. It's got USB 2, USB 3, gigabit Ethernet, 40-pin GPIO, power over Ethernet connector, so you can buy an extra hat. It's got a camera connector. It's got video connector. And it's got the SoC, Wi-Fi chip, everything else. So we're familiar with that. I don't need to get into too many details. The Argon One Pi 4 case, however, and I should mention they do sell a Pi 3 compatible Argon One. So keep that in mind. However, you can't intermix. So if you're using a Pi 4, you have to get the Pi 4 model. If you're using a Pi 3, make sure you get the Pi 3 model. In our case, we're going big or going home, folks. So let's get into it with the Pi 4 8 gigabyte. Never been opened before. Here we go. Let's see what is in this box. Paper. What is it? Warranty card. Whatever. What's this? Instructions on how to do. You don't need these. You're watching the video, and presumably, I'm going to do a great job. Let's get into the bag. Ah, there it is. Who cleans up this studio space anyways? There's like weeks and weeks worth... No, I'm so kidding. All right, there's a protective film on the plastic bits. And this, my friends, that is the Argon One Raspberry Pi model. Raspberry Pi 4. Let's open it up and see what's inside. Okay, we've got this expansion board. There it is. This is cool. So one of the things with a Raspberry Pi, or any single board computer for the most part, is that you've got these connectors all around the board, so it's really hard to make it look nice on a shelf. You've got the Ethernet coming out one side, you got HDMI coming out the other, and power coming out here, and video coming out here, and all that kind of stuff. So what they've done is they've provided basically an adapter that is going to simply plug into the board, to the headphone jack, and the dual HDMI output. And what does it do? It puts all of those jacks directly onto the back of the Raspberry Pi. So I'm just giving that a nice snug little push. I'm being careful. I'm actually holding the points on the board that I'm pushing so I don't accidentally break that off, break the solder joints. For that, I don't know that it would happen, but I want to be careful. So there you have it. So this is going to put the audio and the dual HDMI at the back, along with USB, USB 3, and gigabit Ethernet. Further into the box, okay, we've got some thermal pads. We're going to need those to make thermal contact with the SoC and the RAM. And here is the interior of the Argon 1 case for the Raspberry Pi 4. So we can see a fan controller with GPIO riser pins. So the Raspberry Pi 4 is going to connect with the GPIO. So it's actually, this is really, really cool. If I can show you internally, so you're not losing the GPIO. What it actually does is under this magnetic hood here, if I can just get that off, there we go. It has the GPIO risen out from the board. So here's where the actual GPIO is, and it displaces it over here with a nice etched GPIO header identifier. So you don't have to look for that card. How cool is that? So if you want to get into MakerTech while this is looking so beautiful, you can easily remove this magnetic cover and access the GPIO. All right, so let's get this thing assembled and put together so we can fire it up. Now, I mentioned that this is both active and passive cooling. So keep in mind, while this is a plastic base for the Argon 1, this is an aluminum cover. Okay, so this is for heat dissipation. The aluminum actually kind of pulls the heat away from the SoC. And these are the two contacts. So we've got one for the SoC itself and one for the RAM. And then we've got the active cooler. So if it still gets too hot, even though it is dissipating the heat through the aluminum, then the fan, which is on a fan controller, will spin up to designated speeds that you specify based on temperatures. I'm going to show you how all that works in just a few moments. So I need this thermal pad, which is going to make a nice little contact with the S. Oh, these are not the thermal pads. These are feet. Whoa. I was like, hey, thermal pad. These are feet for the case. This is going to go right on here. Cool. I can do that first, can't I? We'll do things out of order. I'm sure that that's what the instructions say to do. Put the feet on first, just like Robbie at Category 5. That way I don't forget or lose them. How many people have a whole bunch of these rubberized feet sitting in their tool chest? There we go. Okay, that's done. Now I can put those aside. And now I do have these thermal pads, which, there we are. They have like an adhesive on either side. So just peel off that plastic. Make sure you do. You don't want to put the plastic on there and have it melt on you. When you're doing a TV show, it's good to clip your nails for aesthetics. It's terrible for peeling plastic off the back of an adhesive. There. And that just goes right on there. Same with this one. There we are. And it's really, really easy to put together. It already is kind of pre-assembled. Boy, oh boy. If you have a choice, do not clip your nails before doing this. There we are. Didn't take any trouble at all. Isn't it great that the most challenging thing about installing this and doing this yourself to set up a Raspberry Pi 4 with 8 gigs of RAM and an Argon 1, the hardest thing was to get the sticky part, the sticker cover, off of the thermal pad. Okay, so observe the GPIO, the positioning of it, and we're going to position that directly over the GPIO here, careful not to bend any pins. And I'm just going to turn this around so you can see this side as well. And I'm just going to push that down nice and snug. And it just goes in just like a GPIO should. There we are. Make sure everything is aligned nicely. And we've got all these screws. I presume it's time to put them all together. So it looks like I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 spots to screw in internally, and then 4 for the cover. So it's going to be these smaller screws on the inside. And note that there is a hole on the Raspberry Pi where there is no standoff, so you're not screwing into that, and we're leaving these 4 outer ones for the bottom of the case. So now I'm just going to put that on top and grab the 4 longer screws, and we're going to put those ones in. There we have it. Congratulations. You did it. You did it. It wasn't that hard, was it? Check out the ports on the back. I love how sleek that looks. Notice there's no other ports all around. We do have an SD, a micro SD port at the front, kind of hidden away on the bottom. However, all of the I/O has been moved to the back. I love that. Plus, we've got this power button, and it's just absolutely sleek. We do have to take a quick break. When we return, I'm going to fire this up, and together we're going to check out the features of the Argon 1 case with the 8GB Raspberry Pi 4. Stick around. During the break, I grabbed my micro SD card with the latest version of Raspberry Pi OS on it. I wanted to say Raspbian, but they've changed the name, so it's called Raspberry Pi OS now. I tracked down my 5-volt, 3.5-amp power supply, and just keep in mind, the Raspberry Pi 4 is a power-hungry beast. So while I could probably power it with my 3-amp power supply, or potentially even something a little bit less, you could damage your SD card if there isn't enough power. And that's surprisingly easy to do. Let's say I willy-nilly plug in a USB device that draws an amp or something from the USB port. Well, there you go. So I prefer to err on the side of caution. So using a 3.5-amp power supply is just playing it safe. That'll ensure that I get the best reliability out of my Raspberry Pi 4. All right, with all the cables connected, I'm going to fire up the Raspberry Pi 4 with a single press on the power button on the Argon 1. And I can hear just a little spin of a fan. I don't even think you'll be able to hear that with our compressors and everything else, but it's just a slight, I can tell that the fan has turned on and it's off and I am booted into my distro. Man, that is great. Okay, one thing I'm just going to mention right out the gate is running cool, feels good, powered up great. There's one thing that I think Argon 1 potentially misses the boat on, and that's that we're still using the micro HDMI, okay? So I'm still having to use a micro HDMI to HDMI cable in order to plug this into my TV and into the capture devices so that you can see it at home. However, now while I feel like, hey, they missed the boat on that, they could have made it full HDMI. They've got room for it. They could have done that. And besides, they're in control of what they put on the case. However, as I move this around, it's not janky at all. There's no disconnection on the HDMI. And I don't know about you, but when I plug my Raspberry Pi board directly into an HDMI cable, just like I've done with the Argon 1, if I move it ever so slightly, the screen goes green, or it goes kind of digitally distorted or something. And so I've got to jiggle that cable again. And then if it ever gets moved, I lose that connectivity and it causes problems. Well, the Argon 1 seems like, even though it's still micro HDMI, which it's not the perfect connection for this kind of thing, even though it is still micro HDMI, it is significantly more solid than the micro HDMI that's built into the Raspberry Pi. And I noticed that immediately. So I think you will appreciate that. As I mentioned, I'm using an micro HDMI to HDMI cable. You can also use a micro HDMI to full-sized HDMI adapter if you like. And the Argon 1 case is definitely giving me a better connection to that HDMI output. All right, I got to plug in a keyboard. I've already plugged in my USB wireless mouse. I've got my keyboard here. And I'm just going to plug that into the USB 2 because I'm going to save those USB 3s for something else. There we go. All right, so the first, wow, a little bit of latency there. The first thing that I want to consider is I mentioned that this is a smart power switch. So the power switch is programmable. The heat dissipation, the active heat cooler is actually programmable. And I'm starting to feel a little bit of warmth there. This is what's making me think of that cooling system. So you can see there's vents out the side, and this is doing a really good job of cooling the Raspberry Pi 4. However, it is starting to get warm, and I want that fan to come on if it starts to get a little bit too warm. So it has that passive cooling from the aluminum, and it has an active cooling system, the fan, that will turn on as needed. So let's get into our terminal. And I need to become root. So I'm just going to type sudo su dash. And there, boom, I am root. So I am root. You see the instructions that say to go curl and then the URL https://download.argon40.com/argon. And then it's one, the number one, dot sh. And then a pipe. Why can't I think of the word? Bash. Okay, so I want to break down that command for you, okay? What I'm actually doing is I'm telling it to use curl to download basically to the output this script from download.argon40.com/argon1.sh. But instead of outputting it to my screen, which is what would happen if I removed the pipe bash, see that? That's the script. So the pipe bash says, let's actually run that script in bash. It's piping that output into bash. So if I wanted to take a different approach and say, oh, I want to control what this is actually doing, or I want to modify this installer or the scripts before I actually install it, well, let's take a different approach. So instead, I'm going to wget that, or I could have piped the curl. So I'm going to wget, oh, and it's kind of monkeyed with my terminal window there. I'm going to control C so that you can see that a little better. Wget, oh, there we go. So wget is another download tool, but this one is going to actually save the file to argon1.sh. Now it's grabbing the file. I've got it. And all I have to do in order to edit that file is I can use nano, for example. So nano argon1.sh is going to bring it up into my favorite text editor. All right. So first thing that I see, and I should say that one of the nice things about doing it this way is that you can inspect the code. This is one of the things about open source and the way that Linux works is you can look through and see if there's anything that you want to change or whatever you want to do. But so first of all, I see a couple of functions just basically so that they can reuse some of the things like creating a file, touching it and setting the permissions before adding the content. Check if a package is installed. It's going to allow them to see a response code of either NG, which is presumably not good, or OK, if the package is not found in dpkg-query, and that is going to be called further down using this loop, which grabs a package list like raspi-gpio, python-rpy.gpio, and so on and so forth. So basically, packages that are going to get installed with apt-get. So then it goes through a loop here in package list, and it goes through that loop, installing and approving the installation of each of those packages. But if any of the packages fail to install, responds with ng, then it's going to say, hey, there's something wrong, you're not connected to the internet, and it's going to die. If, however, it because there's no else, it's just going to resume if that doesn't happen. So then it's going to move on to here. So we've named the daemon argon1d, and we've got a power button script going to be created in /bin/argon1d.py. We've got a shutdown script in libsystemd called argon1d-powerof.py, and so on and so forth. So those are just the file names so that they can be reused. All right, these commands are enabling I squared C and I guess do serial. That must be serial. That's just my guess, okay? And then we're starting to write out the file. So if the daemon config file does not exist, let's create it. So we touch it. For some reason, they're not using their function here. Maybe that's a bug and we could fix it. It doesn't matter. It's doing exactly the same thing. It's just funny that it is happening redundantly. They could have used the function. These are comments. And then at the bottom of the config file are the temperature to fan speed ratios. So if it hits 55 degrees C, it's going to set the fan speed to 10%. If it hits 60 degrees C, it's going to set the fan speed to 55, and 65 degrees Celsius is going to set the fan speed to a full 100%. So hopefully we never hit that point. So those configuration items, of course, they can be changed here before you install it, or, and that's just going to change the output of the daemon config file, or, of course, you can edit that later, or you can use the tool that they're going to give you in order to make those changes yourself. Shutdown script. There we go. See, they're using argon create file now. This is a Python script that it is creating, although it's running this in Bash. So what it's doing is it's using the Bash command to output to the shutdown script. It's importing sys, smbus, Raspberry Pi GPIO as GPIO, and then it's checking the revision number of the Raspberry Pi and acting accordingly. Moving down, power button script. This is going to be what happens when you push that power button. So again, a Python script, it's grabbing the bus, it's grabbing the GPIO, OS, the time, and that's not just the time, that's the counter and the clock and everything else. Okay, what's happening here? So checks the revision again and acts accordingly, because it may be a little bit different response based on the revision of the board. So it's checking the shutdown check. This is a function. So when you push the button, it responds. So when you push it, so it's incrementing something called pulse time. That's an integer string an integer that's incrementing. And every time you push the button, it's counting that. So when you push it twice, it's going to safely reboot the Raspberry Pi. Now note what's actually happening when you push that button twice is that it's running the OS system command reboot. So it's not doing a hard reboot. It's not cutting power and then powering it back on. No, it's actually running the reboot command that I would run in my bash prompt. So it's a safe reboot. It's going to automatically sync your SSD. It's going to save your files and whatever else that it normally would do during a reboot command. You can also add your own stuff here if you wanted to. Like I could do something like, remember, this is even though we're typing this in bash, this is going to be a Python script, so you could put any Python here. Any Python. And then just make sure that you pipe that with, direct that to $powerButtonScript. You could also edit that file at any time. You could edit that power button script, which is, if you go back up, it's going to be saved power button script. /user/bin/argon1d.py. So you can edit that script, and then you'll be able to change the what it does when you push the power button twice or when you hold it in for 3 seconds, and you can make it react the way you want. Maybe you want it to send you an email or something like that. You can do that. Or you have something else like a APC UPS that you want to have safely turned off or something after a 30-second timer. I don't know. Maybe you've got a watchdog plugged into the GPIO. You can use that as well. Okay, so if you push the button for, if you long press for 3 seconds, it's going to run shutdown now-h. So that's actually a safe shutdown command to power off your computer. So you're not just killing power like you would if you continued to hold in that button for 5 seconds, which is not a safe way to do it. That's like your last resort. But this script is, as you can see, running those commands as you normally would safely. So you push that button, it triggers the GPIO, and it's monitoring how long you press it or how many times you press it, and then it reacts accordingly. So with a little Python knowledge, you could make that do whatever you want. If I push it 3 times, I want it to play my favorite song. That kind of stuff. Whatever you think. You can look through here. Lots of fun, eh? So I love that as people who like to look under the hood, we can do so. And then when we're done, say we've made some changes, we can control O, enter to write our changes, and then control X to exit. And now I just need to go chmod plus X, argon1.sh, and now I can run that by going /argon1.sh, just like that, which is exactly the same as using curl, the URL, piping it into bash. And I'm going to run that. Here we go. It's already got GPIO. It's already got a couple of the things that Argon 1 is needing. I squared C is already installed and active and ready to go. And we're done. Shortcuts created. Okay, what? Oh yeah, look at that. There are actually shortcuts on my desktop. All right, Argon 1 configuration. Let's run it. We're going to execute that in a terminal. All right, Argon 1 fan speed configuration tool. This will remove existing configurations. Press Y. All right. What do you want to do? Always on? Let's try it. Yeah, I hear it. Can you guys hear that? It's so quiet, even at on. That's pretty good. I'm pleased with that. However, because it is controlled by an I2C controller, rather than just a GPIO pin, it's not just on or off. It's you're able to set the threshold. So that's where we can run that configuration script again and say adjust to temperature. So let's bring that up on our screen a little bit. I'm having trouble seeing that on my screen. Da, da, da. There we go. Okay, so please provide fan speeds for the following temperatures. 55C. Let's do 25% fan speed. 60C. Let's do 50% fan speed. 65C. All right, 90%. Okay, so now the fan just shut right off, because it is using the passive cooling to keep that thing below 55, I think it was. So it's completely silent. If I start using my Raspberry Pi to death, it's going to spin up that fan. All right, so now that I've got that script installed, presumably if I push the power button, it's not going to do anything. Nothing. However, if I push it 2 times, what's it going to do? And we're going to lose the screen here, but if it works, we know. And there it goes. And now notice it's not killing the power. I don't know if you can see that, but it has actually done a safe reboot. That's fantastic. That is the Raspberry Pi 4 with 8 gigabytes of RAM plus the Argon 1 case. Those are just fantastic products. I'm really, really pleased with this. I love that I can still access the GPIO without having to take apart the case. That's cool. Just absolutely gorgeous.